This is Rabbi Haber. We're up to chapter 19, Perek Yud Tes in Tehillim. And this is a very rich chapter of Tehillim. It's mentioned a lot in the Gemara, in the Medrash, in the Tefillah, in our prayers. And it's also mentioned in the Zohar. It says that Rishon Bar Yochai used to stay up all night on Shavuos, studying Torah. And he did that because he was so excited about the Torah that would be given the next day. And he says he was like a groom that was waiting to get married the next day. That was the Jewish people waiting to get the Torah the next day. That's why we stay up all night as well. And when he stayed up on Shavuos, he would learn this psalm, chapter 19 in Tehillim. And the truth is, it's not that big of a jump to say that King David also stayed up all night learning on Shavuos, because we know that King David passed away on Shavuos, and we know that the night that he passed away, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that he knew he was going to pass away possibly that night. So he stayed up all night studying Torah in a bid to keep away the angel of death. In the end, the angel of death distracted him for a moment, and he passed away in that millisecond that he was distracted, but he also stayed up all night on Shavuos studying Torah. Don't know if he said this psalm, but Rishon Bar Yochai clearly said this one. And it has three parts to it. The first part is about Niflos Haboris, about the world and the God that we see in the world, just by looking at the universe. I once read, haven't been able to verify it, that when the first American astronaut went up to space and looked down and saw the entire world, he said, "I can see God. I see the wondrous creation of God." They say that when the first Russian cosmonaut went up, he came back and he said, "You know, I looked everywhere and I didn't see God anywhere." So we can see clearly that you can look at the world, you could see Hashem, and you could be awed and inspired by Hashem, or you can miss it. Dawud HaMelech, King David, obviously looked at the world and saw Hashem. And he says, "Hashemayim mesaprim kvod kel," the heavens tell us about the glory of Hashem. "Umasayodov magid harakia," and we see his handiwork in the earth. And he goes through particularly about the planets and about the sun and about the moon. And then he segues immediately into, you know, if the world is so amazing, he says, imagine the Torah. Torah is Hashem. Tamima meshivas novas. The Torah of Hashem is complete. It restores the soul. It's nemona, machimas pesi. It's trustworthy. It makes us smart. Yesharim, mesamche lev. They're straight. They make us happy. The mitzvahs are pure. They lighten our eyes. Yiras Hashem. Fear of Hashem is tahora. It's pure. It lasts forever and ever, ever. And then he says, and what does that mean to me? He says, "Gam avdecha nizar bohem." Your servant is also very careful about them. So there's an immediate segue from the world being amazing to the Torah being amazing to us having a responsibility and the desire to do the word, to do the will of Hashem. The Gemara in Ksuvos even takes the interplay a step further. It says, when it says, "Hashemayim misaprim kavod kel," that the heavens show us the glory of Hashem, how does the heaven show us the glory of Hashem? Because Hashem gave us a Torah, and Hashem gives people who keep the Torah and learn the Torah the ability to pray. And when they pray, the heavens rain. So we can see the glory of Hashem from the heavens, because when people who are holy pray to Hashem for rain, the rain comes down. So you see, it all works together. The fact that the heavens are created by Hashem, and the fact that we have a Torah, and the fact that we take that Torah very, very seriously. Rabbi Yonashin Eibeshitz has a sefer called Yaros Dvash, and in it he records a debate he had with a professor in his local university. And the professor asked him a funny question. He says, in the Kel Adon that we say on Shabbos, which is based very much on this Tehillim, on Psalm Yud Tes, it says that the sun and the moon are sasim usmechim lasos yitzon konam, are very excited to do the will of Hashem, that when the sun rises and the sun sets, it's very, very excited to do the will of Hashem. And this professor asked Rabbi Yonashin Eibeshitz, he says, how could an intelligent person sit in shul and sing about how the sun is excited? The sun is just a gaseous sphere. The moon's just a rock. So what do you mean they're excited? And Rabbi Yonashin Eibeshitz spends a long time talking about how obviously the sun doesn't get excited in the same way we do, but the fact that we're a part of Hashem's creation, the fact that we are doing something as simple as orbiting, and maybe we don't even have a choice, and definitely the more intelligent beings in creation, hopefully us, are going to feel very, very excited about everything that Hashem does. That's the theme of this chapter of Tehillim. At the end of the chapter, Dawud HaMelech says, "Yihyu l'ratzon imrefi v'hagilni b'lifanecha Hashem tzuri v'gaali." He says, "Hashem, I hope you desire my words, and I hope you desire my thoughts." And the Gemara says that Dawud HaMelech said this at the end of 18 chapters of Tehillim. And for that reason, we also say it in Shmoneh Esrei at the end of 18 blessings. In Shmoneh Esrei, we end Shmoneh Esrei by saying Yilu Ratzon Imrei Fi. The truth is that Shmoneh Esrei has 19 brachos, but the truth is also that if you count the Tehillim, we actually just had 19 chapters of Tehillim, so it works out. So there's almost a series that's just been completed, and we complete it by saying Yilu Ratzon Imrei Fi, Hashem, please desire my words, and Hashem, please desire my thoughts. The Medrash says that when David HaMelech said this prayer, he asked God, he said, look, he said, a lot of people spend time learning very complicated halachos, very complicated laws. He said specifically the laws of Negoim and Olos, of Tzaras, of leprosy, and of purity and impurity. And he said, when they say Tehillim, give them the same reward as if they had learned those complicated laws and those complicated rules. And here we have an interesting argument between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, between the Hasidim and the non-Hasidim. The Nefesh HaChaim writes a very interesting thing. He says, the fact that King David had to pray for that is a proof that it's much more worthwhile to spend your time studying complicated laws than it is saying Tehillim. Otherwise, why would he have to pray? He said, obviously, it's more important to spend your time studying Torah. If not, saying Tehillim is also praiseworthy, but it's more important to study Torah. And then he takes it a step further. He says, "Umi yodea im hiskim akosh baruch hu al zeh." He says, who knows if God agreed with King David? We don't find anywhere that God responded to King David. So the Nefesh HaChaim posits that King David prayed that saying Tehillim should have just as much reward associated with it as studying Torah. But Nefesh HaChaim says maybe God said no. He says, and therefore, we should spend our time studying Torah. Saying Tehillim is good, but studying Torah is more important. Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, takes an entirely different approach. First of all, he assumes that King David's prayer was answered and that Tehillim is considered as if we studied Torah, but then he takes it a step further. He says, the reason why King David referenced these complicated laws of Nego and Olos, he says, because when people learn them, they'll never truly get to their depth. They'll never truly understand them. And not only that, but they don't really apply nowadays, and they don't really apply to most people. They apply to Kohanim. They apply to the priests. They don't apply to most people. So King David said, look, people are going to say Tehillim, and some of these words are going to be beyond them and above them. They're not going to understand what they're saying. They're not going to be so excited about the sun and the moon and the stars and the Torah and the mitzvos. They're not going to be as excited as I am, maybe Dodamel said. But he said the same way when they study Torah and they don't understand it completely and they don't relate to it completely, you give them reward. So also when they say Tehillim and they don't understand it completely and they don't relate to it completely, maybe inject my thoughts into it and inject my feelings into it so it'll be as if they said it with the same thoughts and feelings that I did. And that's why he says, Yilu Ratzon Imrei Fi V'Hagun Libi L'Fanecha. He says, God, anytime somebody says my words of Tehillim, of Psalms, look at it as if I'm saying it. And I heard that also from the Dvarna Rebbe. He said that when we say a prayer, so those words stand in front of the Kisei HaKavod, stand in front of God's throne. And sometimes they're empty words. Sometimes we didn't think about what we said, or sometimes we thought about what we said, but we didn't put enough into it. And he says, that's the prayer that we say at the end of davening. We say an entire Shmoneh Esrei. And hopefully we thought about what we were saying, but sometimes we didn't. And at the end we say, Yehiyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fi V'Hagyon Libi. God, please take all my thoughts and all of my words and upgrade them. Inject some more feeling into them. King David promised, if you say my words, or at least he prayed, if you say my words, you should have all my feelings should be in them as well, and all my thoughts should be in them as well. And that's what we say also at the end of Shmoneh Esrei. We say, God, we've given you words. Hopefully they weren't empty words, but if they were, please fill them up with the thoughts that we've had. Fill them up with the good intentions that we have, and maybe even fill them up with the good intentions and the thoughts of David HaMelech when he originally said those words. Everyone be well, and have a good day.